This FabFM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
That time of the week again. Actually, just a little bit early this week because of the breaking news about Facebook and Google and what have you and what's going on in that world. Because Richard Pascoe will know all about it. In fact, he joins us now. G'day, mate.
Hello, Paul. Hello to the listeners out there with this wonderful podcast.
Yes, indeedy. We always have fun. But the Facebook-Google saga looks like it's come to an end.
It does, Paul. So the government blinked. And basically,
Wait a minute. Didn't Facebook and Google blink?
No.
Okay.
So let me give you a bit of a timeline here. So Google struck deals with 7, 9 and News Limited before the legislation went through. If we go back to 6:40 yesterday morning, the government said there'll be no more changes to the legislation. That's it. Then about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, suddenly there were changes to the legislation. So it really is, to me, the government have blinked on this, given in.
Do you think the government kind of made this up on the run a little bit?
Oh, God, yes. Yes, I do. I think they've got really, with a lot of tech things which we discussed, both the government and technology have got no idea. We've got to remember this started with the ACCC. As well, but there's been outside influences in there, so it was kind of like made up on the run. Some of the changes, Paul, really kind of like make it obvious to me that there is that the government blinked on this. The first change, they made it clear that a decision to designate a platform under the code must be taken into account whether a digital platform, Facebook or Google, let's put that in brackets in there, has made a significant contribution to the sustainability of the Australian news industry through reaching a commercial agreement with news media businesses. Now, that means they're going to pay some money, but there is also some in-kind in there as well. This is the way I'm reading it. So if it comes along and says, let's say Channel 9 suddenly got 3 million clicks through from Facebook onto their website, that is worth some money. So I think you'll find that it's not going to be paid as much as, let's say, they might have wanted to in the beginning because they've helped that business out. Now, also, the code will only apply to Google and Facebook currently. Now, what about Twitter? Nobody's discussed Twitter at all. So Twitter have escaped that. Now, the Treasurer was able to designate further companies under the code as well. But they have to go back to Facebook and Google and tell them they're going to designate further companies on there as well. There's a fourth amendment in there as well that they'll go to arbitration when commercial deals cannot be reached through mediation on there as well. So I really do think that the government did blink on this. It's good for media companies, the large media companies. Overseas, that code is getting a lot of scrutiny at the moment saying, yep, It suits Rupert Murdoch and all the cronies out there for that. But smaller media companies, not so much on there as well. Okay, and Paul's interesting fun fact in here as well from the New York Times. Josh Frydenberg was the best man at the wedding of Ryan Stokes, the son of Kerry Stokes, the billionaire owner of Seven West Media, one of the first companies to reach a deal with Google before the legislation went through.
Oh, okay. Keep it in the family.
Keep it in the family, so yes.
Well, good luck to Kerry Stokes. I've got to say, Kerry Stokes was my boss for many, many moons. So I have nothing but respect for Kerry Stokes, but that's an interesting one. But hey, honestly, I mean, these people mix with other people. You can't say, well, we can't go to the wedding of somebody because one day Google might be dealing with, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I think it's good that it's all come to a bit of an end now.
Yes.
I think it's going to blow away very, very quickly. You'll find in the next couple of days your Facebook news feeds will all come back and everybody will live happily ever after.
Now, we kind of discussed this before, but it was interesting. I was talking to somebody, another person in the media yesterday, and they were on the other side, and it's I kind of can see both sides of this. They were saying, well, yes, Facebook and Google use news information that's gathered yep. by other organisations, media organisations who employ journalists. But on the other hand, they say that you wouldn't go to that site or have any interest in that site if it hadn't been up on Facebook.
Exactly right. That's yeah. my whole point. That was the point I was trying to make last week.
Yes.
You would not be going there if it wasn't for them. And, you know, on their pages, they're advertising. So if you go over, you know, if you click a link in Facebook, it goes over to the news site. They are making money through ads on their web page.
Yes.
We've got to say that.
Mm.
But it does prop up the organisation.
It's a two-way street.
It is a two-way street. They need Facebook and Google, and I think that's why the government's blinked on this. Somebody's come along and gone, you know what, we might need to come along and strike a deal here. So yesterday morning, you know, when they said no amendments, I thought this is interesting. End of the day, the amendments were all in.
You've said blinked on this, I think, five times. Let's check.
So the government blinked on this, blinked.
Yep, five times.
Five times.
I think we've got the point. Okay, we're talking with our tech guy, Richard Pascoe, and I'm glad that we put this up today, the podcast, because it's breaking news, so to speak. Okay, let's move on. Sex scammers targeting Australians with threats to release intimate footage from Zoom calls.
Sounds a bit saucy, doesn't it, Paul?
All right.
All right, that's Matthew McConaughey.
That's
yes.
it.
So sex scammers are trying to target Australians. This comes up in different forms all the time. There's a new one out there now. So in January, 60,000 attempts were trying to extort Australians to pay money. What they do is you get an email saying that you left a Zoom call on, you went across, you know, you left your camera on with Zoom running, you might have browsed to adult sites, and you might have performed, let's say, intimate acts while you were watching the adult websites. But it wants a ransom because it says that it will literally send it off to all your family, your friends, and your contact list unless you pay the $2,000 ransom. Do not believe this at all. I get calls all the time about this. It comes out in various forms. It doesn't matter. Nobody's filming you when you're watching adult content at all. It is a big con. And if you've got Outlook on your computer, make sure that you've got junk email turned on, because then you might not even see this email. You won't see it if you use Gmail. They just junk it straight away because it's a blatant attempt to con you.
On to the next subject, quick pieces of tech news. Oh, you've got a little news bites here.
Yeah, little news bites. So if you're after a new iPad, I'll get you to hold off because in March it looks like Apple will release new iPad Pros and the very, very popular iPad Mini. So hold off because you always want to buy the latest and greatest. So we'll give you a bit of a tip right now. The next item, we've got 5G rolling out around the country. Most phones that are being released now are all 5G capable. For all the tinfoil hat people out there, hold on to your hats. Apple has started hiring engineers to work on 6G modems. People are complaining about 5G. Just remember, 6G is coming. Then after that, we'll have 7G. So 5G was supposed to cause, you know, all these sort of things. Hasn't done it yet. So, yes. And finally, Paul, we always, you know, I get concerned about musicians making sure that they get paid for their music when we stream it.
Right.
That's why I pay for Apple Music and
yes.
I pay for Google Music as
good,
well. If I stream
good.
Something,
I good.
Then they get money from it. That's what I like.
I agree. I agree. It is, well, I think, and I've been big on this for years, and I've had some friends who download movies and music and they get it for free. And I say, I will always pay for it, as we pay for every single song on the station, plus we pay yearly a royalty for music. And that's how it should be done, to protect the artist's work. It is thievery. It is, you're being a thief if you do that.
Yep, you are. And nowadays, with so many avenues for you to go along and get content, why wouldn't you pay?
Exactly.
But they paid out last year a record amount of money, $424 million was paid out to music artists around the world. Apple was the highest of that, $163 million. Spotify, $152 million. Interesting fact here, Spotify still hasn't made a profit since they've been active as well. So, yes, and there are a lot more Spotify users than Apple users out there as well. That gives you food for thought on that, people. After that comes Amazon with $42 million and Google paid $32 million. Then we got smaller amounts after that. But it's good to see some figures finally being released.
It is good, and always pay for it. Otherwise, you're taking something that doesn't belong to you. And, you know, I'm big on that, and so are you. Okay, let's check the crap tech item of the week with our Richard Pascoe, our tech guy. And what is it this week?
It's the auto steering wheel desk. So you know when you're driving from Port Douglas to Cairns, what's one of the first thoughts that never comes across your mind? Why don't I take my laptop with me and do some work while I'm driving the car down the road?
No, not on the Captain Cook Highway. You've been up and down that road.
I have been on the Captain Cook Highway. So this is a plastic tray that hooks onto your steering wheel.
What?
And it's a plastic tray that hooked onto your steering wheel so you can support a laptop on there or your McDonald's takeaway
what?
Or whatever goes on there. And they even describe it in the thing saying it's a perfect travel companion. It fits most steering wheels. It literally slides on there. It's easy to install. It's plastic, so it's clean. A good choice for salespeople that are constantly on a business trip. You know, you can write your letter as you're driving.
Wait a minute. This is so wrong on so many levels. Look, I say, this is ridiculous.
That's why, Paul, it's the crap tech of the week. All you do is hook it on your steering wheel and you're in it. Goes on there in seconds and without any hassle. The only hassle you'll have is when the police peel you off the side of the road. That's the only hassle that you're going to have. But it's the auto steering wheel desk. That's my crap tech of the week. Next week, listeners, I have one of the worst things that you've ever heard of in your life.
Ooh.
Do not miss the podcast. Paul and I are about to fall about laughing next week, but is one of the most disgusting, worst things I've ever heard of.
All right, that's great. But this one here is just ridiculous. And
terrible.
I mean, imagine you talk. Now, they're trying to stop people from talking on their mobiles and and being distracted. And here's this thing to hook on your steering wheel so you can have a snack, do your business work, you type, you write letters while you're going down the road and just...
Or you can watch a movie.
Or occasionally turn the steering wheel of the car. Oh, dear. That is totally ridiculous. All right. Now we're off on a tangent and things that aren't there anymore. You can go first this week.
Men's magazines.
Oh, hang on. But they've still got men's magazines, haven't they?
Paul, you try and find a news agent now. I mean, you know, the reason I'm bringing this up is Larry Flint from Hustler died. You know, I remember when Hustler came out, you know, it had more bush in it than the White House.
What was that?
It had
more what?
More bush than the White House.
I'm going to let that go past without a beep. I don't think it's terribly offensive for having a bush because a bush is a female thing and a male thing. It's a two-way thing. We all have bushes unless, of course, you're debushed.
Which, as years went on, deforestation in men and women actually started.
Of course, you've got the Brazilian too, which is an interesting one, isn't it?
Well, that's why I talked about deforestation.
Ah, the old Brazilian.
So, you know, the Penthouse, Playboy, all of those, you know, people just find them on the internet now, which I've got to say is very good for all IT businesses out there because most of you don't know how to browse porn to save your life. You always infect your computers on there as well. Fun fact to you, Paul. I had a client last week, called me out, went to his office, right? And
yep.
He closed the door and he said, look at my speed of my internet connection, 400 megabits per second, right? Great connection. Why is porn taking so long to stream on this computer?
So he was calling you up to fix his computer there and he readily said to you, I trawl porn.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's not streaming as fast as it should, Richard.
Oh, dear.
I have to I have to wait. So, you know, men's magazines pretty well died out. You know, when you and I were growing up, Paul, it was all about, you know, Man Magazine. Do you remember Man Magazine?
Man Magazine was, that was, what was his name? Alfred E. Newman.
No, that's Mad Magazine.
Oh, what was this Man Magazine?
Oh, I reckon there was a Man Magazine floating around with girls in bikinis.
I never had any of those.
Yeah, okay, Paul. He's like, listeners, he's like a monk. So, yeah.
I was a monk growing up. I knew nothing of these things. I didn't have any of those in the bedroom. I never had any of those for Mum to find.
No, it could. Yeah, it could be.
And I never, ever put them under the mattress or done any of that.
No. So they're a bit rarer now. What have you got this week, Paul?
Well, these are rare, very, very rare, and that is a phone booth.
Very true.
The phone booth that you saw on every corner in Australia. Where are the phone booths these days?
There's a few here in Adelaide, but they're like little Wi-Fi hotspots as well.
Oh, well, yes, in Adelaide they'd be there because, you know, you still live in the back blocks. But for modern Australia, very few phone booths around the place.
Yep.
Of course, mobiles knocked them on the head, but back in the old days, you'd run to the phone booth, wouldn't you? You'd go and make your calls to your friends. The phone booth, when I was growing up, they were on every street corner in Sydney.
They
and,
were.
Of course, they were always red. They were fire engine red.
Yep.
And I remember the A and B buttons. You know, you'd press the A button when the person answered. You'd press the button and your coins would go down. And the B button was to get your money back if the person didn't answer.
Didn't answer the call.
But there was a trick in that. Did you know the trick?
God, no. What?
To make a phone call for nothing. And I do admit that I did it a few times. What you did is the place where you talk into normally, right, then you have the piece where you put up against your ear.
Yeah.
If you yell down a phone loudly into the earpiece, the other person can hear you.
No.
So I would ring up and I wouldn't press the coins and go, Mum, I'll be home at 4 o'clock. Mum would say, yes, dear. And I'd hang up and I'd save my coins.
Very good. And all the people around the phone booth, I bet they were impressed. Those here comes Paul LaPeste again. He's going to start yelling. He must be whoever he rings is as deaf as a doornail. So, yes.
Yeah, it was an old trick that we used. All the kids used it if they wanted to just tell Mum to pick them up or something like that. You didn't have to pay for the phone call, which I regret now. I wish I had have, because I just did this talk about paying artists for their work. I should have done that, but I didn't. That's what kids did in those days. Sometimes we took the easiest way out.
We had a woman ring me up on Talkback one night, and she rang from a phone booth in Adelaide, and she was complaining. She was complaining because it was traffic going past. I said, where are you ringing from? So I'm ringing from this phone booth. So I said, all right. And she was complaining about how, in her opinion, Wi-Fi and 5G are evil and, you know, they'll make you sick and everything like that. And she kept on and on about Wi-Fi. And I said, where are you ringing from? She said, I'm ringing from this phone box, which I actually knew where it was. And I said, you know, that's the Wi-Fi hotspot. Phone went dead, Paul. She just dropped the phone and ran.
Oh, you're terrible. You're terrible. Tell everybody about your website.
Head over to talktech.com.au.
Catch you next week.
Thanks, Paul.